you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Surprise! We're back! Eddie Pascal and producer Trav in Henderson, Nevada and San Jose. And we are delivering, for the first time in a while, it's been a minute, a bonus-ode of Upon Further Review. And with this bonus-ode, we're going to play in just a second the entirety of our conversation with Bruce Gradkowski from the other day. So let me just back up 30 seconds before we dive into it. For those of you who frequentwaiters.com, which I imagine is a lot of you if you listen to this podcast, you will notice that earlier we promoted and produced a Raiders playback of Bruce G's huge game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we were going back and we were listening to it and we just realized we had so much good stuff from Bruce and we just couldn't find a way to fit it all in. So we decided let's make it a bonus-ode. So you are in just a second going to hear the entirety of our conversation with Bruce Gradkowski from last week. And I once again beg of you, hey, go to Raiders.com, look at the video. The video is really great. Probably one of the best playbacks we've done since we started this little project. But if you're a diehard, if you're like a real, real Raiders fan and you want to hear the entire story of that game, all 30 some odd minutes of it, just stick around because Bruce will be able to deliver all that to you. And just one more quick thing. Bruce, at numerous occasions during his, I wouldn't even call it an interview, during our conversation, mentions a veto. Now, you might be wondering, who is this veto? He keeps referencing this veto. Veto is one of our bosses, Raider Veto. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Raider Veto. I can't wait for him to get mad about that, Travis. But Vid at the time was a videographer, producer for Silver and Black Productions. Now he's a big dog, but at the time, just a humble producer. And he was the one who kind of spearheaded and had the vision of Bruce's feature returning home. So that's the veto that that Bruce G talks about. Like I said, he brings him up a handful of times throughout the conversation. So just a little clarity on that so no one's confused and looking at the roster being like, is there like a lineman named Veto? No, no, no. It's our very own Raider Veto. So without any further ado, sit back, relax, and really strap in for the next half an hour and learn everything you needed to know about the Bruce G game from the man himself, Bruce Gradkowski. Bruce, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, my man. Thanks for having me. I'll tell you what, that video I was just talking about on NFL radio today, I co-host a show every Thursday, and man, that video you guys put together that won the Emmy was so special because it, to this day, it's one of my greatest memories of my whole football career, you know, and just what a special time and to have it on video. And I fought Vic. I didn't want him to do it. I said, no, man, don't record me. I don't want to be recorded on my week off because I haven't done anything yet. I don't want to be recognized. So I'm glad he kind of forced me into it.
And for those of you who haven't seen the video, it's up on Raiders.com. Give it a look. We'll push the link later today. But it really is a great video. Shout out to our guy, Raider Veto, for putting it together. But Bruce, I'm curious, when you think back to that 09 season, you didn't make a start until week 10. What was that kind of year leading up to what turned out to be this incredible moment? But like, what was the year like leading up to that?
You know, it was my career up to that point was just ups and downs, and you just have to handle adversity, whatever you do in life. I mean, it's about persevering, right? And, you know, I found that when I got out to Oakland and the coaching staff of Tom Cable was the head coach at the time, Paul Hackett was a quarterback coach, Ted Toner was offense coordinator. You know, a lot of good coaches for the right reasons. And I was just more motivated than ever. I loved the offense. And, you know, we had some good guys around us, too. And it was a special time because, man, when you put on that silver and black, there's something about that. And, you know, Raider Nation's special, and I've always felt that, and I've really enjoyed the time. So when I got the opportunity to play, man, I was fired up.
I mean, so you look back at it, right? You make that first start week 10. Like, at that point, are you kind of thinking to yourself, like, all right, the Steelers are kind of just around the corner here. Like, maybe I'm going to have the chance to go start in front of my family and friends back home.
Yeah, well, actually, I wasn't even thinking that far ahead, to be honest with you. You know, I was kind of like, man, I remember I filled in for Jamarcus Russell, like, against the Chiefs in the second half, and we were putting together a two-minute drive, And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted it to. And I was very disappointed. I remember Tony Stewart, tight end for us, came up to me. He's like, hey, man, there's bigger things in store. You know, let's keep working. And then the following week, that's when we beat the Bengals 17-14. And then, you know, we went to Dallas on Thanksgiving. And then you start thinking, oh, man, the Steelers are next. And this is my third time going there. And the first two times was, you know, pretty ugly. A lot of interceptions, a lot of bad plays. So I started getting excited for that.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going to ask you about those first couple trips back to the Berg in a sec, but I'm wondering if you can remember back to that. Was there, like, a moment where Coach Cable was like, all right, Bruce, you're getting the nod. Like, you're going home. Like, you're going to be the guy again. Or was it just kind of one of those unspoken things where, like you said, you had started the past couple weeks, you played, and it was just kind of business as usual?
You know, it was business as usual because I was starting the last few weeks. That now, though, it was – I felt like we were into a groove, right? I mean, I was starting for a few weeks, so there's no more excuses. I knew the offense. We're starting to get the camaraderie better and the timing and rhythm with the receivers. You know, and I remember, though, too, like, you know, Vit came up to me on – it was Tuesday, our day off. And, you know, quarterbacks, you don't take a day off. So I'm in the facility watching film, and Vit comes up to me, and he's like, hey, man – he's like, I was thinking about it. What if we did this little behind-the-scenes video on you and, you know, I travel down to home with you and do a little interview. And I was like, oh, man, I was like, I've only been starting for a few weeks. I don't want to make this a big deal. He's like, look, man, how about I'll film it. You know, we don't have to use it. And I was like, okay, cool. So he rides back home with me. And at the time, I was living in San Francisco across the Bay Bridge. So we had a good ride together and we're just, you know, talking back and forth. And I, then after that day, I kind of forgot about it, right? Like I forgot he was recording anything. And man, I'll tell you what, like watch the video. It's so special. I mean, you guys did an amazing job putting it together. But it's funny because that week of practice, Friday, you know, Friday's usually like Fast Friday. You're just really like amping up. You want to be good and sound and perfect and detailed. And I remember Darius Hayward Bay got hurt in the last period of practice on a 2-minute drill. And I'm thinking, oh man, not another receiver going down. And, you know, so then you're going into the game like, man, we're down a receiver. We're down a no lineman. We're down, you know, a lot of injuries here and there, but man, you talk about a team that was just willing and wanted it more and just persevered throughout the course of that game. Johnny Lee Higgins, Lewis Murphy stepping up big, Zach Miller, of course. So, man, what a great memory.
So you, if memory serves and my math is right, and if it's not, forgive me, Bruce, because numbers have never been my strong suit. But if you guys played on Thanksgiving, that means you had that mini bye, right, heading into Pittsburgh. So what was it like to kind of have that like extra day or two of prep to get ready for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. If that's how it played out, and man, your memory is probably better than mine right now. But, you know, it always helps. It helps having that like mini bye week during a season. So you get a few days off and rested. And, you know, and I could imagine the preparation we did going into the Steelers because that's a vaunted defense. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl the year before. And you're playing at Heinz Field in front of that crowd. So a lot to prepare for, crowd noise playing throughout practice all week and just trying to get, you know, the right game plan together. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about willing your team to victory and guys playing a part in doing their job and their assignment and just focusing on one play at a time. And I really feel like that game, we really focused in on, listen, we got to dial in one play at a time. Let's handle the ups and downs. So we did that. It was pretty cool.
I mean, you mentioned DHB going down literally in the final period of the last practice of the week. Like, as a quarterback, what does that kind of do for your – I don't want to say your preparation, but for the way that you're attacking a game? Because, you know, you have a guy in the mix, a guy that you know you're going to utilize, and then, boom, just like that, it's he's not going to be there. Like, what does that do for like your psyche? And then in terms of like the X's and O's and making sure you can get into the plays that you want to get into.
Well, you're right. Both ways. I mean, it does mess with your psyche a little bit. I'm thinking about DHB was our speed. I mean, he's a guy that you know, took the top off of defenses. So now I'm thinking, oh, man, now they're going to be able to sit on routes, and now we don't get – you have a deep threat and this and that. And then you think about, yeah, who steps in now at that X position? Is it Johnny Lee Higgins? Is it Lewis Murphy? But Lewis Murphy was playing Z. You know, how do you – you know, Todd Watkins – now, how much does Todd Watkins get to play? And he played a key role, especially on that last drive on a third down 11. So, you know, it's really cool how it played out. And it's just – and even now, you know, when guys get an opportunity, man, you just have to take advantage of the opportunity. I thought Johnny Lee Higgins did that day. I think Todd Watkins did. You know, defensively, we had guys that stepped up. I mean, you think about the game was what? It was it nine? It was 9-6 or something in the fourth quarter.
It was 10-6.
10-6.
When the fourth quarter started, and then we'll get to it in a second. But it was probably the craziest like 8.5-9 minutes of football that you will ever see. Because I went back and I watched the game last night. I rewatched it, and that first half is like kind of very plodding, very methodical, like kind of what you would expect right. Out of like a Raiders Steelers. A lot of running the ball. You know, not incredibly crisp, but the defenses are balling out. And then I don't know what it was, Bruce, but in that fourth quarter, something just – it just changed. And you're like, are we playing college football circa 2011 now? Like, it was nuts.
Oh, it was unbelievable, because that's what I was just going to compliment our defense. You know, it's 10-6 all game. We're losing, but our defense has held their own, you know, against Big Ben and the Steelers. And I remember when I threw my first touchdown pass in the fourth quarter to go up, 13-10, I'm like, yeah, we got this one, you know, because our defense has been playing well. They haven't been, like, scoring much. I'm like, we got this. It's the fourth quarter. It's like 8 minutes or something, under 8 minutes to go. But no, you know, then Big Ben goes down and scores. So it was just a back and forth, exciting fourth quarter. I honestly felt like I was on the movie Old School, where, like, Will Ferrell, like, blacks out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we score, then Ben scores, then we score, then Ben scores. And I get the ball back with like a minute, some left. And I'm like, I black out. I don't know what happened.
I mean, because that's really like, I was thinking about this last night for a guy from Pittsburgh, like you going back and playing. And like you said, you hadn't played very well the first few times that you had played there. But you have the 2 minute drill to go win the game. Like that's like when we're kids and we're playing in the front yard, like, isn't that the scenario that you kind of build out? You know what I mean? It's like, and yeah. You're doing it here on the NFL on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're right. Like, and when you're in the heat of the moment and heat of the battle of the game, like, you don't think of those things, but you always, yes, you're right. In the backyard, those are the moments you play for, right? Playing your hometown team, where you grew up, not heavily recruited, drafted in the sixth round, cut 3 or 4 times up to this point, battled, you know, injuries, and yet I have the ball in my hand in the fourth quarter with a minute left for a chance to win the ball game, and then, you know, to put a drive together. So that's when the singular focus comes in on one play at a time, right? I mean, you can kind of get lost and man, there's a minute left. We still have 80, 90 yards to drive, to score. You know, how are we going to get this done? You know, what kind of plays are we going to call? But you just execute one play at a time. And no, at this point, you have 4 downs, right? Each set, 4 downs to get a first down, because you're not punting it away at this point. So it was pretty special. And I remember at one point in that drive, you know, you got to speed up. You're in a 2-minute drill, and our offensive linemen, for some reason, were watching the replay on the Jumbotron. I was like, you know, probably different language at the time, sure. But man, get in this huddle. I said, we can watch this stuff after we score. Let's go. We need to hurry up, you know, like something like that. But man, it's just a compliment to them and how they responded in the heat of the moment in such a pressure situation.
So we're going to get to the Lewis Murphy touchdown in a second, because that's all we all want to hear about it. But let's go back to Friday night, right? The team lands in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And your mom had people over for dinner, didn't she?
Yeah. So anytime like I was playing in the NFL, if we had a chance in traveling back home to play, I would always try to bring the offensive linemen, you know, to my parents' house for a good home cooked meal. You know, during the season, we're not all around our families, you know, we're younger, not all of us are married at the time, you know, and So you're not around family or have those good home cooked meals. So I try to always bring it together. And I remember when we flew into Pittsburgh on Friday, it would have been too fast of a turnaround, too late to get the guys to my parents' house. So what my parents did and my grandma is they cooked and they brought all the food to our hotel. And it was really cool because it was great, like camaraderie event, just everyone eating and hanging out and just honestly a special time. And I had a opportunity, my parents' neighbor, two houses up, he was dying of cancer at the time. And I mean, honestly, he had two young kids. I mean, just very sad. And I remember thinking on the flight into Pittsburgh of, you know, I wrote him a letter because I started thinking about the way I grew up, right? And I'm like, why me? Why am I in the NFL right now? Why am I going back home to play the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm actually an Oakland Raider and I'm playing for the Raiders. You know, and I was thinking of all this and I wrote him the note like, so why can't you overcome this cancer? Why can't you beat it? You know, anything's possible if you set your mind to it. So just overall, it was just a special weekend of how that all came out. Because even he was a big Steelers fan, like everyone in Pittsburgh Pittsburgh fans. So they're all like, you know, we want you to do well, but we still want the Steelers to win.
So they want Bruce to throw for 400 yards, but you know, you're going to lose 35-32 or something like that.
Yeah, right. Right.
How many people did you actually have in the stands for that game?
Yeah, we probably had a couple hundred people. I mean, you know, 100 people are like family members and you know, friends. And there's so many people though that come up to me even now and they're like, you know what, man, I was at that game when you beat the Steelers. I hate you for that, but that was sweet.
Dude, how hard was it logistically for you to kind of figure out getting tickets for mom and dad, getting tickets for all the people that you have to get tickets for, but then also being like, all right, man, like I got to prepare to actually like play this game too.
Yeah. My mom has always done a really good job of taking that off my plate. And my wife as well, we were engaged at the time, but them worrying about it, you know, cause I had a lot of the things to worry about. And I'd say, hey, I'll get this amount of tickets. And I always thought about like, you know, my initial family, I'll get this many. And then mom, you figure it out, you know, because they knew we don't get just unlimited free tickets. We have to pay. And, you know, I'm also coming off of being cut by the Cleveland Browns and the St. Louis Rams and Tampa Bay. So I've been cut multiple times. I'm trying to get established. So my parents always did a great job of helping out. And my family did too. They, like, I'm talking aunts and uncles, cousins and friends, that, you know, they didn't mind. They just wanted a seat at the game and they would pay and stuff. So it was cool to try to navigate through all that though, to get everyone a seat.
You know, not only did Mama Gutkowski handle all the tickets and the logistics, making sure that everyone's where they needed to be, she also gave you a little bit of a scouting report on that off day heading to Pittsburgh, telling you what DBs you got to attack, man. I just, when I was watching that in the video last night, it just made me laugh on like multiple levels. It's like, one, it's just so pure, right? It's such a mom thing to do. But then it's like, not only that, but she's like really serious. Like, no, Bruce, if you want to pull this off, if you want to come into Heinz Field and you want to fly back to Oakland with the win, this is the game plan.
Oh, and you know what? It was set up perfect because when Vit was riding home with me, you know, in the car, I knew. I was like, hey, let's call my mom. And you know, and she didn't know she was being recorded. But I knew she'd always come with a game plan thought. Like, I would get nervous when I was a rookie with John Gruden in Tampa. Like, and my mom would talk to him. She'd want to, like, give him her 2 cents. And I'm like, Mom, come on. Like, he's busy. He's got a lot of other stuff going on, you know. And she would always say, why couldn't you guys just push it in? You're on the 1 yard line, just push it right in. You know, it's like, yeah, mom, I wish it was that easy.
It's such a mom thing to do though. You know what I mean? It's like every person, it doesn't matter if you play Pop Warner, you're in the NFL, whatever it is, everyone has that mom story. Like it's like a universal theme.
Oh, it is. And it's special too, you know, because moms have that innate ability to connect with their kids. And, you know, my mom at the time, she always knew like what to say and how to say it. And, you know, and sometimes us when we're younger, we're too cool to get, you know, get advice or listen. But man, you look back, especially myself having kids now, you know how special that is for her and for myself. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago, probably I was still playing, and she sends me a text and she's like, "How are you, babe? I'm just worried about you." And I forget, I was probably playing for the Bengals at the time, or I was with the Steelers. And she texted me worrying about me. I was like, "Mom, I'm fine. You don't have to worry about me." And she's like, "Okay, promise me when Lily's our 7-year-old daughter now."
Yeah.
She goes, "Promise me when Lily's 30, you won't worry about her." And I was like, yeah, you're right. You got me there.
Dude, I mean, it's like, it's the best part about moms, right? It's like, my mom still texts me like all the time being like, because we're in Vegas now. She's like, "Make sure you're drinking enough water. Or are you getting enough sleep? Like, is everything okay?" Like, "Yes, mom, like everything's fine. Like, I'll let you know if I need something. If something's not okay, I'll let you know." But I feel like that's just part of a parent, and you would know better than I. You're just hardwired to worry and to want the best for your kids.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, you know, now I think I have more patience now to you know, understand where they're coming from, because now I am a parent.
Yeah, I can't. You're a little ahead of me, Bruce. I'll be there one day. Not quite yet, but I'll be there.
Brother, I got three of them running around. Lily's 7, Roman is going to be 5, and Lincoln's going to be 3. So believe me, the two boys, Roman and Lincoln, they might be Raiders one day. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I hope so, man. If we can keep the Gradkowski line in silver and black and not in any of those other uniforms, like, that'll be a win for me. You look back at this game, Bruce, and we talked about it a little bit, where we're in the fourth quarter, 10-6, a real slugfest, right? And then all of a sudden, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Like, it seems like everyone's scoring. What was it like for you to be the leader of that offense? And coming into this game, the offense statistically hadn't had a great stretch. But what was it like for you to be the leader of this offense and then all of a sudden to see kind of this explosion of points? Was it kind of like a little validation of like, this is what we can do. This is what it's supposed to be like.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't think about statistics too much when you're playing. At least I never did. I mean, it was kind of just, you got to execute. If you execute, the statistics will follow. And in that moment, I knew we were doing some good things the previous weeks leading up to that. And in that moment, in the fourth quarter, we did what we needed to do, you know, to win. You know, there's a play action bootleg when we're down 10-6, and I hit Chaz Schillens, another one that stepped up big in the game. And then, you know, the Steelers score. And then all of a sudden, we're set with a third down and one, backed up on our, what, like 25-yard line or something. And I remember I put in the play that we called. I talked to Coach Hackett during the week, and I said, "Look, we should call this play because they'll focus on Zach Miller coming across the field, and you know Ryan Clark will jump that, and we'll take Lewis Murphy behind them on a post." And so it was cool how that ended up. That, you know, our coaches were aggressive at the time on a third and short to say, "Yeah, we could hand it off and try to just bang our heads against a wall and get 1 yard, 2 yards for a first down." But no, they're like, "Man, you know what? We're throwing it all out there. Play action pass going downtown," and Lewis Murphy did a fantastic job keeping his feet in bounds and scoring, you know, after the catch, you know, running a long distance too. So it was cool how it all came together.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one for you where you're watching Lewis go and he's kind of stumbling towards the end, right? His momentum's taking him out of bounds, but you just got to be like, "Just get in, man." You're like, just hang on for 2.5 yards. Whoa. Just please get in. Because a 74-yard – you know, completion is cool, but a 75-yard touchdown is a lot cooler.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't want the ball at the 1 yard line against that Steelers defense. But I'll tell you what's funny, Eddie, is when we called that play and when I let the ball go to Lewis Murphy, you know, there was no one on the left side of the field. So I felt like I could bring him over that way. And when I let it go, I thought I like missed him. I thought I threw it too far over there. And like, so my heart sunk for a minute. So I was happy initially that he ran it down. And then, man, the play that he made afterwards was just spectacular. And then again, at that point, I'm at the sideline like, "Yes, this is it. They're, you know, we're winning this. It's over." And of course, Big Ben does what he does and goes down and scores again.
In less than a minute, it was like 58 seconds, I think. It was like 58 seconds and 3 plays, and boom. You're like, what do I have to do, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so then that there there it is again, where you're kind of like, you got to regroup and refocus. And that's why quarterbacks, you know, football players, anything you're doing, you have to have a short-term memory. You know, it's great, the two previous touchdowns I threw, but what's it going to matter if we don't find a way to score again? And so you get back into focused on one play at a time, and we did that. And, you know, it was super cool, the video of Vit zooming in, like me, you know, in the shotgun, the crowd going nuts. And I'll tell you what, before we took one snap of that last drive, the Steelers played their famous song.
Renegade. I was going to ask you about this.
So they played Renegade, and that song gets me fired up. And in the two previous times I played in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, when they played that, I'd be like, oh, man, you know, because they're going to be fired up. When they played that this time, I was like, yep, let's go. I was like, let's go. So it kind of got me juiced up. And I just knew, man, I just knew it was our time.
You know, we're obviously really lucky with what we get to do, where we get to go to all these NFL stadiums and you get to see these really cool moments that different teams have. And I know it sounds crazy and I'm sure I'll get yelled at for saying it, but the Renegade moment when they do that in stadium is one of the coolest things in the NFL. It is it's incredible.
It's insane. It's awesome. And when you watch, like then when I was playing for the Steelers, when you'd watch film, you could see the camera shaking and you knew they were playing the song at the time because the stadium and the fans are just bouncing up and down. And that is one of the coolest moments, I'll say, is when they play that song.
Yeah, no doubt. And you brought up that crazy Steelers defense. And I had forgot before I watched the game last night that you're right, that it is, they had won the Super Bowl the year previous. And when you guys went to Heinz Field, they were fighting for their playoffs lives. They lost two in a row and things were like really tight in the division. And they needed this win to kind of stay in contention for the division. But when I was watching the game back, I couldn't get over James Harrison was everywhere. Like, it didn't matter if it was like pass play or run play. Like, this guy was everywhere. Like, how was it for you trying to navigate this behemoth coming off the edge trying to hurt you?
Yeah, I mean, he was a beast, you know, and he was a guy you always heard about, you saw on film, and he wreaked havoc, you know, and you always had to know where he was and protections and who you had planned to block him, who was going to double team him or chip him. And but if you watch the video, there's one time I got him. He was chasing down the run so hard and I kept it and, you know, beat him around the edge. And, you know, me being, you know, aggressive, I lowered my shoulder versus Ike Taylor and he just, you know, levels me out of bounds, but I still get up talking some, you know, trash talk, but it was good fun. And then even the touchdown pass in the fourth quarter, James Harrison's coming right after me. And I don't even know how I was able to navigate to throw around him, but he was a guy that he did. He just consistently made plays.
The best part of that James Harrison play, though, is if you watch the broadcast back, so you're running back to the huddle and he's standing there and you lean over and you say something in his ear and you have this big smile, you get that beautiful Bruce G smile on and you say something to him and he doesn't even blink. Like, he doesn't, like, he gets no reaction. You don't get a single reaction from him. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, and at that time I was probably like, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. But, you know, why are you going to add fuel to the fire? But it was fun, man. I just loved those games. And that game felt like all my college games. It felt like, you know, games when I was the starter where you're in it, man, and you're just fighting and clawing and just trying to find a way to win.
Yeah, and you guys certainly did. So here we go. We got 9 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, so right here, I'm looking around. I'm like, everyone's celebrating. And I'm like, is there a flag? I think I saw one of the Steelers, like, yellow spikes or something. And I thought there was a flag. I wouldn't even start celebrating yet. But the Steelers brought a double corner blitz against us. Our guys did an unbelievable job picking up the blitz. And I just stepped right up. And Zach Miller thought I was throwing it to him at the time. But I laid it right back in the corner to Lewis Murphy. And it was a route we practiced all week, you know, where it was, you know, usually you have a wrap concept where you have like Zach Miller sitting about 5 yards right on the goal line and you have Lewis Murphy wrapping behind him. Well, in the game plan, we had that, but Lewis Murphy's route was a wrap return back to the corner of the end zone. You know, and if you see here, you know, the double corner blitz, and we did a great job picking it up. And Lewis Murphy returned it back to the corner. And, you know, Brett Kiesel at the time, he's a good buddy of mine now, but he kept, like, holding my jersey. And it was almost, like, too good to be true. You're like, wait, is there a flag around? Why? You know, right here.
I know, it was one of those things where I think you get a lot more appreciation for the throw when you see it in slow-mo, because when you're watching it live on the broadcast, it's so quick, right? I mean, you step up in the pocket, you kind of survey, and boom. When you really see it in slow-mo, you put that ball exactly where it needed to go. There was only room for Lewis Murphy to make that play, and it obviously ended up being the difference between winning and losing, and it was a great moment. But when you think back after the game ends, you're in the locker room, Coach Cable gives you the game ball. I mean, that had to be such a special moment for you to have that moment in general, but then to have it more specifically in your hometown, in Pittsburgh, in front of your friends and family.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think just because of all the time and hard work, and I'm talking about the off season, through that season we had to deal with. I mean, when you're not winning a lot of games, it's hard to stay motivated week in and week out and stay positive and stay mentally tough. You know, and I think that's one thing we did, and Coach Cable always stood for that, to be mentally tough. And, you know, you see that. And I was just really excited but also happy for our team because I knew what we could do. You know, I saw it because we put in the hard work. It's just being on the same page. It's everyone doing their own job and their assignment and pushing forward. And when plays need to be made, there's those few guys that step up and you got to make a play when you have to. And we had some major guys step up in key moments in that game for us to be able to win. So it was truly special. I mean, it's, you know, one of the greatest memories, you know, I'll always remember, especially playing and just the time of my life, especially in my NFL football career, is just being a part of the Raiders. And in that moment in time, man, it was just, there was something special there, and we felt that.
You know, and I'm sure after the game, you know, after, you know, you get the game ball, you have a chance to shower, do the media, the whole thing. Like, being able to see your parents, being able to see your friends and family after the game, like, not a lot of guys are fortunate enough to have that moment, but then to have that moment and then get to see their loved ones too. Like, what was it like seeing mom and dad and everyone after the game?
Well, it was funny because leave it to my dad and mom, they found a way to, like, get back towards where the locker room was. So they're standing right outside the locker room or when I'm done doing media. And I was cramping up after the game. Like, I don't know, like, my leg was cramping up. And so it was after that touchdown pass. So I had to get an IV before we flew. And so my parents were waiting. So I see them and we're walking down the hallway back to the bus. And there's Mr. Davis, you know, with his security guys. And my mom runs up to him and, like, he's sitting in his wheelchair, he's getting pushed, and my mom grabs his arm, like, Mr. Dave, you know, and you know, right away they're like, oh no. And he's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And she's like, that was unbelievable. And he was like, no, that wasn't unbelievable because we knew we could do it. You know, like,
it was the most Al Davis thing ever.
Oh, yeah, he could just enjoy the moment. But he, you know, he was right. And I had, you know, even though there was a short little stint there, you know, I've had some special moments with Mr. Davis that you could tell how much he cared and he cared about his players. And he was all about winning, you know, just win, baby. And, you know, that night we sure did. But he would always grab me to the side, like after a few of the games, and ask me a few questions. And it wouldn't be like, hey, great game, Bruce, or oh, big win. He'd be like, hey, what happened on that one play? Why did you check out of this play or that? So I thought it was cool in the moment. My mom, just being excited and how she is, grabs his arm. And, you know, the security guys went, like, grab my mom off him. And Mr. Davis was like, no, it's fine. And she's like, that was unbelievable. What a game. And he was like, it wasn't unbelievable because we knew we could do it, you know.
Oh, man, dude, that's the best part about, like, hearing these stories, right, is just those little moments that I'm sure your mom will never forget it, you know, like, you'll never forget it. And it's just those little moments outside the game, you know, walking to a bus or something, that those are the things that really stick with you. And obviously the game itself was incredible. You'll never forget that game. But that moment, I'm sure, is something that you and your mom still talk about, still laugh about, and that is probably something that both of you hold really near and dear to your heart.
Oh, for sure. My whole family. You know, that was just a really special moment for everyone. And, you know, because myself, too, I had some ups and downs throughout my NFL career. But in that moment with that staff, with the players around me, I knew I could do it. You know, and it was unfortunate the next week I tear both my MCLs in the same game, and then I tear my left pec in the offseason. So, you know, I had to battle more injuries going into the following year. But, man, I always think if I could have just stayed healthy, and sometimes I play a little too aggressive. But, you know, I never regret it, man. It's fun, and that's what I live for. So it was a really special moment. And, yeah, we'll always remember that. That's why I got this Raiders picture in the background.
I know, dude. The man, the Gradkowski man cave looks pretty good. I'll be honest with you.
You know what? I'll tell you what. It was after one of the games at the Coliseum, and a fan came up, and that's on like nice felt paper, and he wanted me to sign it. So I signed it, and then he handed me one rolled up, and he said, "Here, this one's for you." And I was like, "Man, this is unbelievable!" Like he painted it and drew it. Like it's unbelievable. So I had it framed. And but it was cool. Like it just, cause it shows just the respect from the fans. And I always remember those moments, you know, engaging with fans. Cause look, man, we love it as players just as much as they love going to the game. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something special. And I think you very much had it where when it's special, when there's that mutual respect between player and fan, and it's a two-way relationship, and they realize we kind of need each other, right? Like we're really not that much without each other. And when we're together, everything's better, we're stronger, and it's a lot more fun. And I think you certainly have a grasp on that, no doubt about it.
No, for sure. That's what it's all about. You know, when we go into the stadium, we hear those fans rocking, it gets us fired up. And, you know, we're out there to put on a show and make it fun for them to watch as well. So absolutely, we're both in it together.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, we appreciate your time, man. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally were able to do this. Like I said, this is one of the games that I've had on the top of my list since we started this little project. And for those of you who haven't seen it, I can't implore you enough. Go to Raiders.com, watch the feature of Bruce going home. It won an Emmy. I know we've talked about that, but we'll flex it a little bit more. It won an actual Emmy. An incredible piece of work. And yeah, man, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy guy, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, brother. No, I appreciate it. Now I have, instead of football games, I have 100-mile challenge in the month of June that I'm running 100 miles. I'm about halfway there, 44 down. And I'm doing it this month. I'm going to raise some money for the social injustices going on and, you know, to help combat that in the city of Toledo and downtown Toledo. I work with the church. It's on my Twitter, you know, my pinned tweet. So if you guys want to, you know, donate anything to my 100 miles, I need a little push, just like that fourth quarter of the Steeler game.
Absolutely. Well, good on you, Bruce. And yeah, like you said, go check out Bruce's social media platforms for a little more information on that. And like I said, man, dude, you're one of our favorite guys. We love when we get a chance to hook up with you to talk a little ball. And hopefully we can do it in person soon, not over the virtual thing anymore.
No, for sure, brother. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Man, that was a lot of fun. That was a great way to spend an afternoon. If you can carve out an hour or so in your Thursday afternoon to talk football with Bruce Gradkowski, I would highly recommend you do it. And just like that, we're out. We're done. The beauty of the bonusode is you get in and you get out. There's not a lot of fluff. So we want to thank Bruce Gradkowski, producer Trav. I want to thank him for his tireless work. Producer Steven, everyone who helps the playback situation get to where it needs to be, looking all fancy and beautiful as it does on Raiders.com. And we will be back, same time, our regular scheduled programming this Thursday afternoon for another standard issue episode of Upon Further Review with our very own, and I think I feel comfortable saying this, Trav, I think we are going to welcome back the great Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Martin. I think this is the week that he gets back in the mix. So make sure you join us again on Thursday. Thank you for hanging out and listening to this bonus of the podcast. And we will catch you guys, I can't even say next week, in just a few days for another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.